WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. These days, William Burroughs is familiar to millions of people who've never read a word of his writing for his appearances in TV commercials and the accolades offered to him by generations of rock musicians from Steppenwolf to Sonic Youth, and the current wave of so-called spoken word poets. Rhino Records has just re-released Burroughs' first recording, a collection of readings entitled Call Me Burroughs, cut in 1965. Before we hear a review from Ken Tucker, here's Burroughs reading an excerpt of his most famous novel, Naked Lunch.
Meeting of International Conference of Technological Psychiatry. Dr. Fingers Schaefer, the lobotomy kid, rises and turns on the conference the cold blue blast of his gaze. Gentlemen, the human nervous system can be reduced to a compact and abbreviated spinal column. The brain, front, middle, and rear, must follow the adenoid, the wisdom tooth, the appendix. I give you my masterwork, the complete all-American de-anxietized man. Blast of trumpets. The man is carried in naked by two Negro bearers who drop him on the platform with sneering brutality. The man wriggles. His flesh turns to a viscid, transparent jelly that drifts away in green mist, unveiling a monster black centipede. Waves of unknown stench fill the room, searing the lungs, grabbing the stomach.
When William Burroughs recorded Call Me Burroughs in the mid-60s, he was the pork pie hat of the avant-garde, a button-down man spewing wild stuff, revelatory in its incoherence. He was closely identified with the Beat movement, with Allen Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac, but all Burroughs really shared with them was an alienation from straight society and a regular urge to get high. He liked surrealist imagery and borrowed the Dadaist trick of creating some of his texts by cutting up words and phrases from pre-existing prose. But at the same time, Burroughs has always been an all-American writer. One of his shrewdest borrowings is from the hard-boiled detective novels of Raymond Chandler, whose tone of flat malice he captures perfectly in The Fish Poison Con.
I was traveling with Merritt Incorporated, checking store attendance for larceny with a crew of shoppers. And Bob Schaefer, crew leader, who was an American fascist with Roosevelt jokes. It happens in Iowa, this number comes over the car radio. Old Sal got caught in the fence last spring. And Schaefer said, oh my God, are we ever in Hicksville? Stopped that night in Pleasantville, Iowa, and our tires gave out. We had no tire rations during the war for such a purpose. And Bob got drunk and showed his badge to the locals in a roadhouse by the river. And I ran into the sailor under a potted palm in the lobby. We hit the local croakers with a fish poison con.
Like the best hard-boiled writers, Burroughs knew that you can imply worlds of emotion if you keep your voice steady while describing terrible things. There's also an element of deadpan comedy in a lot of Burroughs' work. It's what keeps the less attractive aspects of his ideas, his violent misanthropy, his cheap cynicism, from turning too sour.
My trouble began when they decided I was executive timber. It happens like this. A big blonde driller from Dallas picked me out of the labor pool to be his houseboy in a prefabricated bungalow. And in solid. When this friend come down from New York, the driller says, this is the boy I was telling you about. Friend looks me over chewing his cigar and says, what are you doing over there with the apes? Why don't you come over here with the board where you belong? And he slips me a long, slimy look. Friend works for the Track News Agency. We don't report the news, we write it. And next thing I know, they have trapped a gray flannel suit on me, and I am sent to this school in Washington to learn how this writing the news before it happens is done. I suss it as the Mayan caper with an IBM machine. I don't want to be caught short in a gray flannel suit when the lid blows off.
Despite his prim demeanor, Burroughs was really a punk before his time, as inexplicably, overwhelmingly bitter and morose as Pearl Jam's Eddie Vedder is now. That's one reason why Burroughs has become an on-screen shill in TV commercials for Nike shoes. The pop culture has caught up with his attitude, and Burroughs' perpetual mood of free-floating animus sells. 30 years ago, Call Me Burroughs must have sounded like a spooky communication from an extremely lively corpse. Heard now, he's just another oddball droning between videos on MTV.
Ken Tucker writes about popular culture for Entertainment Weekly. He reviewed Call Me Burroughs on Rhino Records. This is Fresh Air.